Easter is always a fun time for me. There's an excitement when we think of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, just in the fact of what he accomplished in overcoming death. But the excitement is more than just, as I said earlier, an event that took place 2,000 years ago. It's an event that is still affecting us today and continues to affect us. You just heard testimonies from several individuals, and you basically get a little glimpse of what it's like without Christ. After my message here, I'm going to conclude with the other side of the story, the victory that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without that, we truly would be hopeless. I'm reminded of a preacher. He was preaching to a congregation. He was trying to stress the importance of living our lives to make an effect on the world, but really to show that there's hope after death. But he said to the congregation, he says, "Now I want you to think about when you're lying there in a casket, what do you want people to say about you?" And according to the story, some suggested, "Well, I want them to say that I was a good family man." Someone else said, "I want my friends to come and gather around that casket and say, she really helped us in life. We'll miss her as a result of that." Now, I was thinking of all those things, and I'm thinking, that's really a good question. What do I want people to say when I'm lying there in a casket when they think of me? And I come to the conclusion, this is what I thought. I thought I would like them to say, "I think he's moving." That was my conclusion. I want to know that death isn't the end, don't you? I want to know that there is life after death. There is victory after suffering. There is victory after loneliness. There is victory after a life of sin. And it's all because of today. It's all because of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The verse I want to look at, and there's several things in here. There's four things we're going to look at, but it says this: "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I could start with the very first thing, thanks, but that's what I want to end on today. Our response, our reason for gathering together today is to thank God for the victory that we have through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'll come back to that, but I want us to just look at four things rather quickly this morning. First of all, it tells us the source of victory. "But thanks be to God." Now, those two words are kind of significant. When it comes to having victory over death, I'm glad I'm not the source of that because I have no control over that. Mankind has been trying for centuries to expand our life and try to avoid through the fountain of youth or whatever means that they can come up with, death. But the saying that we have, and you've heard it, there's two things that are certain in life, right? Death and death. You got taxes down right away. You would think it was April 15th, wouldn't you? You have until the 18th, I think, this year, right? So get that out of your mind for a minute. But death is one of those things that is certain in our lives. And because of that, we need help. We can't depend on ourselves for victory in this area. But it's amazing to me how many think that they have the answer to that. You heard in one of the testimonies how independent we all are. And how we just want to live our life our way. But I blame my parents for that. Any of you want to agree? Otherwise, it's your fault. Okay, I blame my parents for that. Do you know, when I was young, they did everything for me. I had to depend on them. I had to depend on them to eat. I had to depend on them to change my clothes. I had to depend on them for absolutely my very life. But then, as I got older, they started sticking that fork in my hand and expecting me to put the food in my mouth. And because of them trying to make me independent, finally I got to the point where I would say, I want to do it my way. It worked. They got exactly what they wanted. I became very independent. And you know, when it comes to victory in our lives, we think that we can handle it, don't we? Even in the areas of spirituality, even in the areas of the payment of our sin, just think about this. There are people who think that by going to church that they can defeat death. You say, that? No, they don't really think that. Yes, they do. They think that if they're good enough, they can defeat death and live eternally with God. Guess what? I don't care how many times you come to church, you're still going to die. You cannot defeat death. Well, I can do it by being good enough. I can be better than my neighbor. That will make me victorious over death. Really? How good do you have to be to defeat death? Doesn't that sound ridiculous? Well, of course it does. Well, I'm going to do good deeds for others. That's the solution for death. Okay? How many good things do you have to do to defeat death? Do you understand what I'm getting at? We don't defeat death by going to church, by being good enough, by doing good things for others. Thanks be to God. This is something we can't do. That's why we celebrate Easter once a year and should celebrate it a lot more than that. We celebrate the fact that God did something for us that we could not do. Now, I didn't share with you the context of 1 Corinthians 15, but I want to right now. In 1 Corinthians 15, the first few verses here, he gives, in a nutshell, the message of Christianity. If you don't know anything about Christianity, if you read verses 3 and 4, you know what this entire book is talking about. This is the Reader's Digest short version of the Bible. Let me read it to you. It says this, "For I delivered to you," Paul's saying, I gave you this message, this is how important it was, "that first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to this book," according to the scriptures. So if you want the message of the Bible in a nutshell, it starts with Christ died for our sins. What you could not do, Christ, God's Son, had to do for you. Now, you could pay for your sin, but I'm telling you, you don't want to. Christ was willing, and that's what Good Friday was all about, to take our place, to suffer and die for us on the cross. But then it goes on, "and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day." So he died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is what this whole book talks about from the very beginning to the very end, is that Christ came to do something for you that you could not do for yourself. Thanks be to God that he loved us that much, that he sent Christ to die for us, to be buried, to give us eternal life by resurrecting from the grave, proving that he could do what we couldn't do, that he could conquer death. And then he offers to us that same life, eternal life with him in heaven. God gave us what we could not do. But we need to trust him in that. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. In all your ways, thanks be to God." Acknowledge that you are totally dependent upon the God who created you, the God who sent his Son to be your Savior. God loved us that much. We started a men's Bible study just recently, and they're going through the book by John Ortberg, if I'm saying his name right. The book is called Who Is This Man? And in that book, it talks about Saturday. And it's comparing Friday and all the things that the Bible says and all that we emphasize in the death of Christ. And then Sunday, and he talks about all the things that have to do with the resurrection of Christ. And he says that the Bible has a lot to say about Friday and Sunday, but very little about Saturday. But most of us live today in the Saturday area, in between the suffering and the victory. We're kind of in the middle of that. He describes Saturday as this. Saturday is the day your dream died. You wake up and you're still alive. You have to go on, but you don't know how. Worse, you don't know why. I have a coworker that Friday learned that her son had passed away. Yesterday, can you imagine what's going through her mind? I talked to her yesterday. Can you imagine the sorrow? Can you imagine between the suffering and the victory where she's at right this moment? What can she do about it? The answer is nothing. There's nothing she can do about it, but thanks be to God. There is a victory, even in death. But many of us live in that in-between time, and that's when we need to trust in Him. We need to rely on Him. He is the source for victory in our lives. The second thing we see in this passage, that He's not only the source, He was willing to pay the cost. He doesn't say there's a solution to your suffering, there's a solution to death, but it's going to cost you going to church. It's going to cost you being good enough. It's going to cost you helping others. You say, how much does that cost? Well, guess what? None of those things are going to work. So since you couldn't pay for it, this verse tells us He gives it. It is thanks be to God who gives. How does he do that? Who pays the cost? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Good Friday was all about. The paying of the cost of our victory. Being willing to die, to suffer, to take upon Himself the sins of the world. That's what Jesus did. Took your sins, my sins, and He placed it upon Himself. Josh mentioned, you know, that there's this misconception in the world that Christians think of themselves as better than somebody else. A true Christian realizes that the only reason that they are going to live eternally in heaven is because somebody took their sin. Christians realize their sins. Christian realizes the cost that it required for Christ to pay. Christians realize there's nothing they can do to inherit eternal life. And that's exactly what he says in the verse following here in verse 58, if I can find it here. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable. I'm sorry, verse 50. He says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does incorruption inherit corruption, or neither did corruption inherit incorruption. What he's saying there is that there's nothing my flesh and blood, me, nothing I can do to inherit eternal life. I can't pay the cost. But thanks be to God who gives the gift to us, the gift of eternal life, the gift of victory over death through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father and Son were traveling, and let me read a verse before I give you that. Just two verses before, Paul says this, O death, where is your sting? It's almost as though because of this victory, he feels free to taunt death. That's like taunting the bully of our life, taunting the thing that all mankind's fear in their lives. He just taunts it. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, he says, where is your victory? And then he says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory. In other words, God has removed the sting of sin from our lives. The consequence of sin, according to the Bible, is death. But thanks be to God, Christ was willing to take that for us. Father and Son were traveling down a country road. They were traveling rather slowly, but they had the windows down, and a bee flew into their car and started buzzing around. His son got terrified. He was allergic to bees. One sting could kill him, and he was panicking. And so the father slowed down, pulled over, and he saw the bee, and he just grabbed it and put it in his hand. And the son thought, oh, good. And then he let it go. And the son started to panic again. He said, Dad, what are you doing? And he said, look at this, son. And he held out his hand, and he said, right there's the stinger of that bee. And he can't sting again. What was he showing his son? He was showing that I took the sting, therefore you don't need to panic anymore. It's exactly what Paul is saying. The sting of death has been removed. Christ took that on the cross so that we would not have to suffer. And through faith in Christ, we can have everlasting life. So the source is God. The cost is free because Christ paid for it. The results then is victory. And that's what we've been talking about. We experience the victory in our life. Is it a victory of having eternal life? Yes. Is it a victory over death? Yes. Is it a victory over some of the other things that were mentioned in the video that you just saw? Yes, 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 and yes again. I picked four things before I even saw the video. And it's amazing to me, as you're going to see the second half, that God gives the victory in every one of these areas to these individuals that you just mentioned. First of all, one of the benefits of being a Christian, of being having faith in Jesus Christ, is we get a lifelong friend. In John 15, verse 15, it says this, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, Jesus speaking here, but I have called you friends, for all the things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. Do you realize that every earthly friend can and probably will desert you at some point in your life? You say, no, no, no. You don't have friends like I do then, Glenn. I have some wonderful friends. My wife is my best friend. But do you know she could desert me? Say, she would never do that. I don't think she would either, but she could die. She could leave me alone. She doesn't have control over that. I could desert her. Every single friend on this earth could desert us. They could be disloyal. They could do something unloving to us, but they could just, by the natural thing of living in this world, we could be left alone. Did you hear that earlier? But we do have a friend that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And only one person can make that kind of a commitment in your life. It's somebody who's already defeated death. It's somebody who loves you and will never desert you. And that's the friend that we have in Christ. No matter who we are, where we are, what we're doing, we have a friend in Christ. If you're a believer in Christ, you have victory over loneliness. You have victory of ever being left alone because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He will go with us. He will always be by our side. He will be the one who we can rely on no matter what. There was a bishop by the name of Bishop Beveridge. I know him well. Anyway, he was dying. And one of his closest friends said to the bishop, he said, do you know me? And as he was dying, Alzheimer and some other things had affected his life. And he turned to his friend and he said, who are you? What is your name? And so the friend mentioned his name. And he said, do you know who I am? And the bishop said, no. His wife came up to him and said, do you know me? He said, who are you? She said, I am your wife. What's your name? He had forgotten his wife. And then somebody whispered in his ear and said this, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know what he said? He says, yes. I've known him for the last 40 years. I could never forget Jesus. That's a friend that you will always have if you know Christ as your Savior. That's the victory that we have. We have victory in peace and rest. Again, you're going to hear it. I'm kind of giving you the punchline before you get it. But somebody's going to tell you that one of the differences that Christ made in their life was that they had peace. Do you know if you have sin in your life, and you do, and so do I, that you feel guilty for a reason? God has placed that there to turn you to Him so that you will trust in Him. And you will never have peace apart from Him, because you cannot be forgiven apart from Him. Thanks be to God. But He offers it. He desires to give it. And when we finally accept that, guess what? We get peace. But not just in that. Now we know that God has our life. And the things that happen in our life doesn't mean everything's going to be good. But Philippians verses 4 and 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything give thanks. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." That's why Christians can go through suffering, whether it's the loss of a loved one, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, whatever the suffering that they're going through, health, they can almost sit back and say, "God, you're in control." The worst thing that could happen to me in this world would be for me to die and stand in your presence where there is no sickness, there is no pain, there is no suffering, there is no sin. That would be the worst thing that can happen in my life. Therefore, I can trust in you. I can rest in you. That's a peace and a rest that this world will never have apart from Christ. One of the other victories that we get is forgiveness. You heard the conscience working in some of those testimonies, how sin was part of their lives. It was part of all of our lives. But God offers forgiveness. He gives that reassurance even in this chapter. In verse 15, verse 17, he says this. Paul's saying, what if there was no resurrection? He's saying, if there was no resurrection of Christ, everything we believe is vain. You might as well forget about it. You might as well throw it away. It's worth nothing. And then he gives one of the other things that wouldn't be true if there was no resurrection. He says this, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. See, the resurrection gives us forgiveness. The resurrection gives us freedom from the debt that we owe because of our sin, only through Christ. Thanks be to God. He also gives us the victory in eternal life. Verses 45 and verse 54 and verse 55 says this, "So then this corruptible will put on incorruption, and this mortal has to put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" It's gone. God has given us eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. During the Battle of Inkerman, the Crimean War, some of the soldiers after one of the battles, were gathering up the dead in that particular battle. And they were drawn to one body. It was obvious that the man had literally crawled, drug himself up to a tree. He knew he was dying. And as they approached it, it's like he just curled up, put his hands underneath his head, and was, not his hands, you're going to see why in a minute, but put one hand under his head, and he was sleeping. And so they went to pick up the body, and they heard something rip. And he had blood on his finger, and it had congealed on a piece of paper, which was his Bible that he had pulled out. And not knowing that it was there, it ripped off, and one of them read it, and this is what they read, where he was pointing, "I am the resurrection and the life. The rest of the verse says, he that believeth in me will never die. Claiming the promise of God. Do you know they left it on that? They didn't take that off. And he was buried with the promise of victory over death. That's what we have as believers. That's why we're here today. That's why I saved this one for last. Our response is thanks be to God. Have you experienced that victory? Victory as a lifelong friend, having a lifelong friend. Victory in having peace and rest. Victory in the forgiveness that only comes from God. Victory in knowing that you have defeated death, that you have everlasting life. See the victory of our individuals in this testimony.
What happened to change my life, actually it'll be 8 years in September. My grandfather passed away, and to honor him, my sister and her husband and actually my cousin, we decided to attend East Arlington Baptist Church because that's where my grandfather always went to church. And we were just doing it just to honor him, and we actually did go on that Sunday, and I just felt the Lord speaking to me through Pastor. And then so after church, we decided to come back the following Sunday, and this is actually when I asked the Lord to be my Savior.
As I was in this time of year, God really stepped in and just kind of moved me out of that group of friends, put me into this new group of people that weren't really all about themselves, but they were about God. And for the first time, I saw people who were more engaged with God than they were with others. They were more concerned about what God thought of them than what people thought of them. And that really was kind of the turning point that was like, it made me think that there's something that I'm not doing right, that these people are doing right.
Well, going back to my older brother after he passed away is when it started, God started working on my heart, and I started to remember some of the things that he said, and then we came to the funeral, and then I started going to church, and at that point, I realized that all the problems that I had were because I thought I was good enough, but I was measuring by my standards and not God's standards. And at that point, I gave my life to Christ.
Accepting Jesus doesn't mean you'll never have problems. What it means is you'll never go through them alone because he'll always be there with you. You can count on him. He's your forever friend. So accepting him, it took me a lot of years and a lot of trials before I realized that he's not the one that wants to bring me harm. God is the one that's in control. And once I learned that and realized that nothing is going to happen today to me that the Lord won't handle. He's got it covered, and I just have to depend on him.
My first taste of Jesus is hard to pinpoint because as I grew up, I would always point back to when I was 6 years old when I prayed a prayer and said, I got saved there. And yet, as I look back on it, I'm not completely sure because my life didn't really show a life that was living for Jesus. So it might have been later on when Jesus became Lord. I know that I'm saved today because I see how the Holy Spirit doesn't work in me.
Well, I guess the first taste is I didn't feel like I lost him once I had Christ because for the first time I realized where he was and that he was really in a better place than what we are.
Did my life change instantly? Yes, it did, in a sense of just there's a sense of peace in my life. But also through reading more of scripture and through like ladies' Bible study and things like that, I realized I sinned more than I ever thought that I've sinned. I didn't realize, you know, thinking bad thoughts was a sin. Just the different things such as that. And also I went through trials, probably more trials. One, for instance, is my husband was laid off. And so we, you know, we didn't know what to do. So we prayed and prayed and, you know, we depended on the Lord. And he actually came through. That's how I got my summer job working for the DNR. I told my boss about it because I was going to apply for another job. Which I'd have to work weekends and I wouldn't be able to come to church on Sundays. And she had this job. She says, I was thinking of you anyways. It, you know, just all worked out. And I believe that's what God does, you know, that if you lean on him and you depend on him, and he does come through for you.
I guess with some of the things that I did, the worldly things that I did, and I won't go into them because I'm certainly not proud of those things. Those started to fall off. And some of them fell off instantly. Some of them took a while, but God's faithful to continue his work in me.
For the first time, I was really seeing victory in my friendships. I was really getting to see how God was allowing me to be friends with people, not to get something out of them, but to give them something, to give out of myself to them.
That's when victory came over the lies that play over in my head, that I'm no good, that I'm really not a Christian because I mess up. Once I read God's word and applied it to my life, then I realized that I have the victory through his shed blood, and for no other reason. I can't be good enough. There isn't anything I can do to impress him. He loves me regardless.
Life is great because I know where my kids are going to go. I know where my family is going, and I know where I'm going. And so I'm just sort of just holding on and waiting out until God calls me home.
Life with Jesus is much more simple now. I used to chase after things that were just things. So now I know it's him that I chase after, and it's just much more simple and fulfilling.
Today, life with Jesus is free because I am not held down by what people think of me. I am not held down by the perceptions that people had of me, because I know what God says in his word about who I am. And as far as friendships and relationships go, friendships are awesome, relationships are awesome, but yet I know that those aren't going to satisfy me. So I can enjoy those with the fact that they won't satisfy me, and yet I can always be with God and know that he will satisfy me, and that I can have victory over the idea that I need to get something out of someone.
I'm still seeing victory in my life, and I don't think that victory will ever be fully accomplished in my life until I am with the Lord and his son and for eternity in heaven.
Jesus has given me victory in life by just helping others in places where I had struggles once in life. The students I help every day, I had troubles growing up with certain math concepts and things such as that, and today that is what I teach them. And just struggles as being the rebellious teenager that I was, I can understand them more. Once we were actually at a dinner, and there was probably 20-some students there, and they asked me to pray before we ate dinner. So that is victory to me. Just telling them at school I like Christian music, and just sometimes I'm the only person they know that is a Christian. So that's victory to me.
One thing for me to tell you, and even quote the Bible and tell you there's victory in Jesus, is another thing for you to see it. And I don't know where you are in your Christian life. I don't know if you are looking at this video and you're saying, amen, I know, I'm thankful for it. Or if you're looking at it and saying, I'm missing that in my life. Can I have you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a minute? With every head bowed and every eye closed, the question really is, have you the victory that God has promised in his word? And if not, let me just encourage you in simple faith to say, Lord, I would like to claim that gift, the gift of victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and rose again for my sins. And if you're here today and you know that victory, thanks be to God. Lord, we thank you for who you are, what you've done in our lives. I just commit each one that's here today, help them to celebrate this Easter, the victory that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for we pray it in Jesus' name.